Hello, this is Hannah with the News Gazette, dated October 27th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article titled, He's Aiming High. For UI Extension Director, Everything's Brand New. Just over a month on the job, new University of Illinois Extension Director Matthew Van is thinking big. I'm coming in at a time where there's a lot of excitement about extension, he said. There's a lot of ideas about how we can grow as an organization, and I see a lot of good opportunities to connect our campus with other units. He aims to continue the extension program as a front porch to what the university researchers do, making complex information digestible and accessible. The most recent construction of the Doris Kelly Christopher Illinois Extension Center left Van excited when he took the job. Specifically to the Christopher facility, it's just the simple fact that this gives Illinois Extension our own space, our own building, and gathering space where we can come together, he said. The future hub for all things Extension received a $45 million gift from the building's namesake, Doris Kelly Christopher, who founded the widespread Pampered Chef franchise and graduated from the UI's College of Aces in 1967. The nearly 40,000-square-foot building will house different Jewel outlets for teaching, including three separate areas for Extension members to learn, create, and cook it up in the kitchen. The kitchen felt like a no-brainer to the staff, given the building's benefactor, Van said. Van grew up with a history in Extension, where his father served as a county agent in rural Lafayette County, Florida. He earned his bachelor's degree in agronomy and crop science from the University of Florida. He attended North Carolina State University for a master's and a doctorate degree in the same field. He stayed on the East Coast as an assistant and associate professor at his alma mater for nearly 14 years, ending in September. He also served as extension leader for North Carolina's Department of Crop and Soil Sciences from mid-2022, and then transitioned to a sole lead in 2023. During his tenure in that department, he addressed critical issues in nutrient management, herbicide tolerance, and environmental stewardship. In his first year at UI, Van plans to spend significant time off campus, meeting local staff, second to research methods to connect with stakeholder groups, and third, to find better ways to connect activities to the group's coverage counties. Not being from Illinois, everything's brand new. Every face is brand new, he said. That's where I get a lot of energy from, engaging with our extension staff and faculty. The director steps into a challenging time outside the center's construction. In July, the extension lost federal funding for its food stamps education program from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act passage. The program provided lessons on improving usage in at-risk areas in the state. More than 200 personnel left the organization. We're looking at ways to kind of invigorate, recharge, and recycle some of what we were doing, Van said. So there have been challenges, but it's been very rewarding. Fisher Teen crowned in Miss Land of Lincoln pageant. Fisher's Jordan Huskisson joined the Miss Land of Lincoln teen royalty on October 12th. Now she has her sights on the Miss Illinois Teen Scholarship Competition in 2026. She impressed judges with her confidence and dedication to community service. Contestants competed in personal interviews, on-stage questions, fitness, talent and poise, and presentation in their choice of gown. Outside the newly awarded crown, Huskisson advocates against bullying through Voices Unbroken, One Voice Can Save a Life. On this platform, she shared her story of overcoming bullying, advocating for stricter anti-bullying laws, and hosting workshops for students and parents. Parkland student named first Lincoln Academy Student Laureate in history. A Gifford native at Parkland College joined as the institution's first Lincoln Academy Student Laureate on October 18th. The award recognized Rebecca Maxwell, an elementary education student, for her leadership and civic engagement. I feel truly honored to be named a student laureate for Illinois Community Colleges, Maxwell said, It's very humbling that I get to be the first student from Parkland to win the award. The honor, signed by Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker and prominent figures at Lincoln Academy, came with a $1,000 stipend, a commemorative coin, and a medallion to wear at graduation. Parkland College Pam Lau said it was a great honor for Maxwell to be the one community college student selected. We are proud to see our students named 2025 Student Laureate, the first from Parkland College, Lau said. This is a terrific honor for Rebecca in recognition of her leadership, civic leadership, and contributions to the Parkland College and beyond. This award fueled Maxwell's motivation to carry on. Being a full-time student, working part-time, and volunteering at my church and community, this award is an encouragement to keep pressing on in what I'm pursuing, she said. Brown named statewide Boys and Girls Club CEO of the year. A Champaign Youth Club CEO earned a statewide early career honor. The CEO of the Don Moyers Boys and Girls Club, Amy Brown, made a recognizable impact with her leadership in community and organizational impact in 3 years on the job. Recipients commonly received this award later in their tenure. Brown dedicated the award to her coworkers. This honor truly belongs to our remarkable staff and board, whose commitment and vision drive our mission every day, Brown said. Their hard work and partnership empowers our youth, and I am deeply grateful to accept this award on behalf of everyone who made our club a success. Tim Cunningham, chair of the Illinois Area Council Boys and Girls Clubs, said through Brown's direction, the organization strengthened its standards. Her focus on safety, excellence, and strong onboarding has been remarkable, Cunningham said. She has fortified community partnerships with schools and local colleges, established strong ties with community leaders and social service agencies, and built trust with funders by delivering reliable, high-quality grant programming. Our next article is titled Champaign City Council, On Agenda, Suggestions for Downtown Campus Town Parking by Luke Taylor. Champaign. On Tuesday, the Champaign City Council will consider recommendations for the city's parking system that could result in anything from establishing new license plate technology to changes in parking rates for the first time in 20 years. City of Champaign Administrative Services Manager Chris Koester said that staff have previously wanted to present the council with recommendations, but waited until a full study could be completed. The study was performed by Desmond Inc., a parking consulting firm, which examined both Champaign's downtown and campus town, mapping parking lots, permit zones, and parking meters. The firm surveyed occupancy, determining, among other findings, that across the board, occupancy peaks at 6 p.m. on Fridays. Champaign's parking system has been operating at a loss for about 10 years, despite seeing some revenue in 2019, 2022, and 2023. Desmond's report noted that Champaign has yet to recover from adverse impacts of the pandemic, like most municipal parking systems. Champaign saw an 18% loss in 2020 and a 26% loss in 2021, though a 14% gain in earnings in 2022. Koester said the parking fund is operating at a deficit of around $600,000 annually, and despite being buoyed by fees in university district permit parking sales, the fund is expected to be depleted within the next decade. This is the second consecutive year that all the city's parking permits on campus sold out, Koester said. Obviously, on campus, land is a finite resource, and land on campus is expensive, Koester said. I don't know what we have solutions for on campus as far as expanding parking. It's sort of difficult to plan for what we consider the peak. Even so, options for campus are among the things he expects to be considered going forward, though he highlighted the existing transportation network with the MTD. Beyond considering financial challenges and providing enough parking for city residents and visitors, Koester said the City Council is being asked to consider aspects of the parking system, such as signage. One of the most frequent questions that we get, especially at Public Works, certainly, is people looking for parking or unfortunately, they received a citation and are not understanding why they received a citation. That sort of thing, Koester said. Any changes that could be related to better wayfinding, signage, helping people figure out where we have parking would be good. Desmond's suggestions also included phasing out the ability to reserve a specific street parking spot long term, because that both removes that parking space for others, even while it isn't occupied, and cuts into potential revenue for the city. The firm also suggests raising downtown parking rates to be more in line with campus rates, as well as raising street meter rates to a minimum of 50 cents an hour and a maximum of $1.50. Additionally, technology upgrades using license plate readers could increase customer convenience, operational efficiency, and effectiveness for parking services. That would mean that in some lots, cameras would determine whether vehicles were parked in spots where they were allowed and whether they were spending more time in that lot than allowed, rather than employees needing to check those things manually. The City Council will receive all of the recommendations on Tuesday, but Koester said he doesn't expect to see any major decisions soon, and that this topic will likely go out for further staff analysis and return to the Council in 2026. The next article is titled Urbana City Council, 19-year Urbana Police Veteran Tapped as Interim Deputy Chief, by Janae Weiserma. Urbana. The City Council's agenda for tonight includes a vote on whether to approve Mayor Deshaun Williams' appointment of Lieutenant Michael Cervantes as Interim Deputy Chief of Police for a term ending April 27, 2026, or 6 months, whichever comes later. Executive Coordinator Kate Levy said the term is worded this way in case the Council votes to keep the item in committee. According to city officials, Cervantes has served over 22 years of experience in law enforcement and has been with the Urbana Police Department in a number of roles since 2006. He currently serves as a patrol division lieutenant in Urbana and has held several progressively responsible positions, including street crimes unit detective, canine handler, patrol sergeant, and criminal investigations, division lieutenant, officials said. Cervantes previously served as a military police master-at-arms in the U.S. Navy. His education includes graduating from the School of Police Staff in Command at Northwestern University, earning a master's in law enforcement and public safety leadership from the University of San Diego, and receiving several training certifications. The council previously voted on August 11th to approve Zachary Michalik as deputy chief for a term ending June 30th, 2027. Michalik has been with Urbana Police for almost 18 years and previously served as commander of its services division. Levy confirmed that Cervantes is temporarily filling another deputy chief position that was vacant, rather than replacing Michalik. Our next article is titled Central Illinois Multimedia Group, Radio Heavyweights Bolster Lineup. Veteran Ag Director has deep roots in community. On-air host has starred in several Midwest markets, by Joey Wright from the News Gazette's Weekend Edition. Champaign. Gail Cunningham has seen it all in several decades on the air. His dedication to providing farmers the information they want to know is a reason he'll be inducted into the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Hall of Fame on November 20th. And on October 27th, the longtime radio man will become the ag director for Central Illinois Media Group's 11 radio stations in Champaign-Urbana, Danville, and Decatur. This opportunity is taking me from Springfield to Lafayette, Indiana, across the belt of the best farmland in the nation, he said, to talk about agriculture and to promote agriculture. My life is built around agriculture. Cunningham's stature in the agriculture community is well known. Gail is to ag what Lauren Tate is to sports, Community Media Group CEO Jody Pareto said. Cunningham's arrival coincides with that of Kevin Lambert, CIMG's new creative service director. Lambert has worked in several markets since breaking into radio more than 25 years ago, including Champaign, Springfield, and Terre Haute, Indiana. Fittingly, he and Cunningham crossed paths in Champaign while Lambert was on the air for 94.5 FM, and Cunningham was the farm director for 99.1 FM. Kevin, he's one of the funniest, most talented on-air broadcast guys I think I've ever met, Pareto said. He's been number one in the market wherever he's gone. He's just phenomenal. Lambert's youngest son, Mitchell, has been a big Illini fan during Lambert's first time in Champaign. When this kind of popped up, he probably should have been paid for by the company because he was pushing for me to come here, Lambert said. I thought I was going to finish my career in Indiana, but they convinced me that there's some exciting things going on here. A unique path led Lambert into his radio career. The Kansas City, Missouri native initially went to school to become a music teacher. My dad said, "You better have a backup plan," and it was radio, which is ironically funny, Lambert said. And he says that 5 years doing stand-up comedy, working alongside the likes of Jeff Foxworthy, sharpened his on-air skills. "I was very, very young, but that was a very good introduction to radio," Lambert said. "Radio was fairly easy compared to going on stage in front of that many people." Lambert will work in several capacities for CIMG's radio stations. Like Cunningham, he'll have an on-air presence across all of its stations. CIMG Chief Operating Officer Paul Barrett said the two additions will take the company's stations to an unprecedented level. Just like the 1927 New York Yankees, Central Illinois Multimedia Group is putting together our own Murderers Row lineup, Barrett said. Gail and Kevin join Brian Bannert, Mike Hale, and the rest of the award-winning on-air personalities to bring a talent-rich lineup stretching over our entire listening audience, from Springfield to across the Indiana line. It's a home run. Lambert will also play a key role behind the scenes, working directly with clients to help advertising needs. "I do a lot of producing, as far as commercials and stuff, but I find that being on air or performing is a conduit for that creativity," Lambert said. "So I'm looking forward to being on air, and I also like the role of being on air to help out charities." At first, radio didn't seem to be in the cards for Cunningham either. His start in the industry came later in life, after spending his early years on a farm northeast of Hoopston. Cunningham eventually agreed to provide agricultural reports for WITY in Danville twice a week. It didn't take long for that to change. "My wife told me, 'You might as well do it,'" Cunningham said. "That's the only people you talk to is farmers and farm businesses, and that's the only thing you talk about is the price of cattle and the price of hogs, and whether it's raining or not, and chemicals coming, the seed corn, and all this other stuff." One thing listeners can be sure of is that Cunningham's distinctive cowboy hat will accompany him to the studio on a daily basis. The Illinois State 4-H Hall of Famer owns about 15 of the hats and goes through a straw hat every year. "I think it's important to know that my philosophy is supporting, informing, and educating both sides of the equation of food," Cunningham said. "My main job is to inform and to help farmers and to encourage them along the way." Cunningham has five keys that he aims to deliver to farmers on a daily basis: markets, weather, what others are planting, status of future farm research, and how food is being produced. "I want to give the farmer what they want," Cunningham said. Pareto is eager to have Cunningham and Lambert in the fold. "If you just think about the talent we have, all the broadcasters we have on the talk and music stations, you can't find that kind of lineup anywhere," Pareto said. Our next article, also from the News Gazette Weekend Edition, is titled "Champaign County Board: Permit for Mahomet Solar Farm Approved by Single Vote," by Janae Weisserma. Mahomet. 1 month after tabling a special use permit for a proposed solar farm near Mahomet, the Champaign County Board voted Thursday night to approve the request by a single vote, 11 to 10. The vote saw four Democrats join all six Republicans, including the two who represent the district where the solar farm will be located, in opposition. District 6 Democrat Carolyn Greer was absent. The aye votes were Democrats Jake Fava, Stephanie Furtado, Ellie Hanauer-Friedman, Chair Jennifer Locke, Jenny Lockshin, Emily Rodriguez, Jamala Rogers, Matt Sullard, Eric Thorsland, Bethany Vanek Thurant, and Daniel Wiggs. The opposed were Republicans John Cagle, Ben Crane, Aaron Esrae, John Farney, Ed Sexton, and Jeff Wilson, and Democrats Samantha Carter, Lorraine Cowart, Brett Pugh, and Monique Settles. In discussing his choice, Thorsland said that it's up to a property owner to decide what to do with their land. "You don't own your view," he said to neighboring residents who oppose the projects. "If you want to tell people what to do with what you see that isn't yours, you have to buy it." Summit Ridge Energy plans to install a 36-acre solar farm just west of the Mahomet Village limit. The site is made up of two parcels that total about 96 acres and is located east of County Road 125 East, south of US 150, and north of the Spring Lake and Briarfield Acres subdivisions. Residents from these neighborhoods have opposed the project and cited a variety of concerns, including the loss of farmland, potential runoff into a nearby lake, effects on property values, and potential environmental impacts. During the comment period, resident Tyler Bosworth said he and other residents are not opposed to solar energy, but were just wanting responsible solar energy to be placed in responsible locations. "And our group just doesn't think this is a responsible location, being so close to a neighborhood, a lake, a railroad, and the town. I'm siding with the community that I reside in, and I'm elected to support them," Wilson said. "And I'm choosing with full understanding to agree with the community that lives there, that would have to live with this for the next 20-plus years." Additionally, Farney argued that it's reasonable for residents who buy homes near agriculturally zoned land to expect the land to be used for agricultural purposes, and the county should change its zoning regulations in regards to which district solar farms are allowed in. However, Hanauer Friedman had a different perspective. "We've heard a lot of fear and concern from those neighboring residents," she said. "That being said, I don't believe that things that we've heard concern about will come to pass." She added that she lives near a solar farm and has not had any issues with its causing noise, which was cited as a concern by some opponents. Additionally, Sullard noted that the developer's application complies with state regulations, but the county is out of compliance because its ordinance is more strict than the state statutes. Therefore, he doesn't expect things to go their way if the matter comes to a lawsuit. "All that a judge is going to say is, you don't have a right ordinance," he said. "So not only do you have to go grant the petition anyway, but now we're going to add damages on for the county for not being in compliance for years with the ordinance. So when you talk about representing the people of Mahomet or the people of your community, who is going to pay for that?" Rodriguez, for her part, said that while she had previously voted against the proposal as part of the board's Environment and Land Use Committee, the developer has answered the majority of my concerns. Locke told the News Gazette that Summit Ridge Energy recently shared that four changes have been made to the project plan. Previously, plans to cut down approximately 1 acre of existing trees have been scrapped. Local labor will be used for construction and paid a prevailing wage. The developer will provide an escrow account as financial assurance for its decommissioning and site reclamation plan, rather than a surety bond as previously proposed. An agrologist will inspect the site for invasive species annually, and the developer will take steps to eliminate any invasive species identified. Maura Cronin, director of development for Summit Ridge Energy and the company's development lead for this project, also said that the company has proposed a sound barrier to alleviate concerns about potential noise. She noted that the company held a community meeting October 15th at Mohammed American Legion, post 1015, about 40 people attended. "Ahead of the community meeting on October 1st, I had a discussion with the Spring Lake Homeowners Association chair, offering to donate to the lake dredging efforts as a hyper-local benefit, and the HOA respectfully declined our offer," she said during public comment. "Instead, after meeting with people at a community meeting, we decided to commit a $100,000 donation to the Mahomet Community Foundation to provide a direct benefit more broadly to all members of the local Mahomet community, not just the Spring Lake HOA members. Locke said that both the proposed donation to the HOA and the actual gift to the community foundation are completely separate from the zoning case. These contributions financially play no role in board decision-making, one way or another, she said. Alexis Bozarth, admin for Stop the Solar Farm by Spring Lake Facebook group, said in a post after the meeting that she was disappointed in board members who cited concerns about a potential lawsuit as one of the factors in their decision to vote for the permit. If they are not comfortable forming their own thoughts and making their own decisions, why are they serving as our elected officials? She wrote. If they cave at the threat of a lawsuit, then they could allow anything to happen within Champaign County. I think everyone should think twice about who they vote for going forward. The county board also voted Thursday to approve a resolution to support the creation of an intergovernmental commission to study reparations to African American residents. The vote included a successful amendment by Locke to specifically designate Settles as the board's representative on the Reparations Commission. The resolution also commits the board to contributing $25,000 to the commission's work. East Central Illinois Statistics, David Leek, this week's Prairie Skies. The end of the week brings us Halloween, when strange characters show up at our doorsteps, looking for candy. The date of Halloween has astronomical roots. It is one of four cross-quarter days. Revelers celebrated these days in Europe as days halfway between the first days of each season. So Halloween is roughly halfway between the autumn equinox and the winter solstice. The other cross-quarter days are Groundhog's Day, Main Day, and one called Llamas, though the last one never caught on in the U.S. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette from October 27th, 2025. Please stay tuned.